Assalamu alaikum. I don't know how you feel. I feel very relaxed. I don't know. I don't even feel like doing very much, you know, for a few minutes. But if you have questions, we'll answer questions. If not, before the namaz, I have a paper. Something that Baba wrote on quite some time ago. But it's more than relevant in this day and age. So, no questions? Everybody knows the answer, right? This paper, again, Baba wrote very long time ago. It's on the hereafter. Here we go. Recently, after the death of his father, one of us asked me of death and of the hereafter. We must not wait to think of death until someone we love dies. Before I go too far, I want to apologize, because it's about death, and it's not a lively... but it's still very interesting. I've read through it a couple of times. Anyhow, we must not try to forget death even after we're reminded by the death of someone whom we love. We must remember death always and often, and we must not leave its remembrance until we die. When the Prophet ﷺ was about to leave this world, he consoled his beloved companions and said, "I am leaving you with two great teachers. One is a silent one, and the other is one who speaks." When he asked who they were, he said, "The silent one is death, and the one who speaks is the Holy Quran." Life after death is not as those who do not know imagine and say it is. Not the tortures of the grave, the interrogations by the angels, the punishment, the pain, the crawling creatures, the snakes and the scorpions, the hellfire. Not the tombs transformed into rose gardens, the palaces, the gardens, the rivers of paradise. Nothing there resembles the horrors or the beauty of this world of matter. Nothing there resembles what eyes have seen or minds have imagined. This world of matter consists of space and time and things and beings and flesh of three dimensions. But all of these are temporal. Everything that is built is going to be destroyed. Everything that exists wears out, changes, and disappears. Everything that is born dies. All of this will disappear or will be transformed and stay here. None of it will go to the hereafter except the ruh, the soul. Allah says, and they ask you about the soul, say, the soul is by the command of my Lord. The soul belongs to Adami Ablaib, the invisible realm. That is to say, invisible to our material eyes. Even Hazrat Ali Karamallah Wajahu says, even when my veils lift, my certainty does not increase. Even he, the door to knowledge, is unable to see the real reality within the realm of the soul. Hazrat Abu Talib al-Makki Radulan says, if the soul knows its Lord, when it leaves the body, its source ascends, seeking its Lord. In accordance with deeds and state of the owner of this soul in this world, it becomes finer or less fine with matter. It is, if it is finer, it soars higher to the level that is called inland, a distance anywhere from the moon to the Kursi. The eight paradises mentioned in the Holy Quran are in these regions. If the soul belongs to a sinner, when it leaves the body, it also has no form or shape. Yet it is heavy, not with a material weight, but with a conceptual weight. It sinks, descends in accordance with its weight until the level of Asfal Safinin, the lowest of the low. The seven hells are in this realm, or in these realms. The souls of sinners assume the character of their animal selves. If in this world one has insatiably ambitious, one's soul assumes the character of a pig. If one was arrogant, thinking oneself great and others lowly, it will assume the character of an elephant. And if one was envious and jealous, it will assume the character of a monkey. Each character of different weight will sink lower in accordance with its weight. Some think that the hereafter is like this world of matter because Allah Ta'ala addresses man in the language of man. They think in terms of what the word signifies, which is material, while the word itself is of the essence and immaterial. They base their contention on verses such as, say, he will give life to them who brought them into existence at first, and he is knower of all creation. And also, is not he who created the heavens and the earth able to create the like of them? Yea, and he is the creator and the knower. Both of those verses are from Surah Yasin 79 and 81. They say that there is a tiny place of bone, piece of bone, at the end of one's spinal column, which does not rot. And from these remnants, like corn from the planted grain, men will grow on the day of judgment exactly as they were when they were in this world. If we must seek something that exists now and that is the same in the hereafter, it certainly is not the material form, shape, or body. Perhaps it is the word. If one knew what one was saying, if it was not just noise, barking, growling, howling, for the true word is produced by the soul. The body changes, ages. Science says that after 3 years, not a cell remains in one's body that was there before. Yet the essence, the soul, is the same whether one is a baby or an old man. It is that which will be returning to its Lord. It is that which will appear on the day of judgment in paradise or hell. Otherwise, if someone lost his hand or foot while a child and was thrown into hellfire as punishment for his latter sins, would it be just for that sinless hand or foot also to burn? For Allah says, so he who does an atom's weight of good will see it, and he who does an atom's weight of evil will see it. And the Prophet says, your deeds, whether good or bad, will be returned to you. The gardens of paradise, the fires of hell, are no more and no less than your deeds. At the time of the Miraj, the ascension of the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ said, O Muhammad ﷺ, tell your people that paradise is an empty space. There are neither trees, nor rivers, nor palaces within. The gardens of paradise, the gifts of paradise, are the words, Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. Tell them to repeat these words often. Your existence in your afterlife and in the tomb, purgatory, the day of judgment, hell and paradise, are neither of this world nor resemble anything in this world. You will be in the shape of your seer, your essence, and the realm within which you will find yourself will be the realm of the concepts, the meanings of your life and actions. Allah says, on the day when hidden things are manifest, from Surah Tariq, verse 9. Also, we believe that for the common man, this world is nothing but an illusion, a dream, not reality. How could the reality of the hereafter be the recreation of an illusion or have any resemblance to it? The Prophet ﷺ says, when men are asleep, they wake up only when they die. The only way that we can know the hereafter is by following the order of the Messenger of Allah. Die before you die, so that we can see the reality of our eternal self and the reality of eternity. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Alhamdulillah. You take two things with you when you go. You take your sins and you take your good deeds. So, store up on your good deeds and repent for your sins. Inshallah, your time in the next world will be in a high place and your soaring toward Him will be lighter and easier and finer. The refinement of the being is very important for your time in the next world. Nobody really ever talks about this. I don't even remember this paper. I went through all the papers and discovered this. And I liked what it had to say. Is that me? So, in refining, when we first came, some of us, the older ones, when we first came, I remember Baba always talked to us about adab, correct behavior. And I think through good adab that we learn to refine ourselves. And then when the time comes that we have to pass into the next world in the day of judgment, that refinement of yourselves will help us to get to nicer and nicer places. They tell me it's all graduated on the other side, you know, higher realms. I don't know, I haven't been there, but I'm hoping that they're telling me the truth. So again, yes, those are the two things you take with you. You take your good deeds and your sins with you. So be careful. And actually, because there was a question about really what does happen after death. So at the time of death, if you're a good person, the angels come and they take your soul very nicely and very gently, as the saying goes, like a hair being pulled through butter. And then we have the analogies of if you're not such a good person, if you're a sinner, you're very, you have a lot of crimes you've committed and this and that. It's like, you'll be like a barbed wire being pulled through the top of the head, and it would be very painful and very uncomfortable. And as Baba says in the paper, your heavenly, all of these conceptions of things, they come to you at death. And they bother you, and you don't know what to do with them. So the business of staying to your prayers and your practices and reading the Quran and trying to adjust yourselves by following in the footsteps of the Prophet and taking on his sunnah, practicing his sunnah, these things will go to help refine the human being and refining you. Because we all know that Allah sent the Prophet as an example. So we should make every effort to understand him and know who he is. But not just on the outside, we have to go deeper and deeper. Just because you know one thing about what he has done, there's many multiple layers beyond that. And when you're ready for that information, once you purify yourself, Allah will raise another veil and you will understand that same incident from a different perspective, and inshallah it will be from a deeper perspective. So if we practice that, inshallah we'll be much better off in the next world. So now we come to the place where the body is placed in the ground. The body, the deceased one, he sees everything. He or she sees everything. They hear everything. They can talk, but we can't hear them. It's just like this screen has been put into place. So like a very thick glass wall, that's a mirror on one side, we don't see them, but they see us very clearly. After the questioning by the angels of who your God is, who your prophet is, what is your book, there's one more question. There's more than that. One more question. Yes.
What's for religion?
Yes. That I think is. I think you're right. After that takes place, it must be really rather frightening to be put in the box, but you can still see everybody, and there's all your loved ones throwing dirt in your face. But so what happens after that? So the body becomes, your soul disappears and goes around a little bit, but then it comes back to the body. And it's like they're in a cocoon. And they are able to see, and they have sort of like a window, and they can look around and they can see what's going on. But they can't do much of anything about it. And then eventually, at some point in time, the soul falls asleep, only to be woken up by the trumpets and the brass of the Day of Judgment. And then that's when everyone is asked to be raised up, and we're all marched up. This is how it will go. So, somebody had asked about that's the best I can come up with for the time being. Anyhow, so actually when they get to the plane, it will be quite a difficulty. Everybody will be naked. And it will be as though the sun comes close to you. And the sun comes very, very close, very, very close, and everybody starts perspiring. And the whole plane that everyone is in will begin to fill up with like a liquid of perspiration. And everybody will start to begin to burn because it will be as though the sun is coming very, very close to us. And everybody will be burning from this radiation that will be coming down. At some point there will be an ability to leave that space, and at that point that's where my knowledge of what goes on in the hereafter ends. I don't know after that what will happen. So again, that's all I know about what goes on after the fact. And inshallah, that'll be correct. I'm not even sure if all of that is 100% correct. But that's what I've learned and what I've read and what I've studied over all these years. And that's about all there is to say, unless you have questions.
More questions?
Yes.
Please.
Is there a punishment in the brain?
The punishment is a psychological thing. If you're not a good person, yeah, these things, like it says, there'll be... Yes, it'll be a difficulty. It'll be a torment in the grave. There'll be like animals, like scorpions and worms, and they will begin to eat your body. And you won't know what to do about it. Your history comes back and disturbs you and bothers you and begin to say, oh, if I had done things differently, especially if you were a sinner, you know. Those things, there's a bit of a torture in it.
What about the bodies that are
cremated? As the paper said, and it's not the first time I've heard it, there's a piece of bone. I don't know where the soul goes when the body is cremated, but there's a piece of bone that does not burn. It's the very tip of the tailbone. And from that piece, Allah Ta'ala will recreate the body. So. But it's, you know, people do cremate, but it's a violation of our religion. We don't cremate.
Some scholars say that there is no punishment before judgment.
It's a psychological thing that goes on. That your history does come and bother you, and because you don't know, and you begin to kind of sort of cry and moan and wish you had done things differently. Some scholars say the punishment comes later, some say it comes earlier. There will be a punishment for everybody. Just about everybody, as far as I know. So, that's what I've read, but well, I don't know. I could be wrong.
What about people who've been cremated?
Who just asked that?
Oh. All of my grandparents. Willfully burning yourself is one thing, but then is there anything left?
As I just said, and as the paper said, there's a piece of bone at the tail, and Allah Ta'ala will recreate the body from that. It never dies, and it doesn't burn. It will be recreated. The body will be recreated from that. What's most important, I think, is to work on the purification of the soul. Whether there is a torment in the grave or a torment after the day of judgment, what's really the point? Is to purify yourself, follow the sunnah, and take it deeper and deeper into your heart as much as you can. And always, as one grows, Allah will open another door for you. This is the real important part. Not whether there's a torment here or there or then. You want to keep yourself as clean as possible. It will always be your repentance and remember Allah as much as possible. Learn who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. Try to find his spirit and imitate. Take that spirit on and live like that. This is what is the real goal in my mind. If there are no more questions, we can go on to our namaz.